Good morning and welcome to our services this morning at O'Neill. We have some visitors among us and we definitely appreciate your presence and we welcome you back at every opportunity that you have to be with us here at O'Neill. Brother Guy and Brother Tommy asked me to announce that Betty McClendon, that is the mother of Kim Carter and the sister to Bobby Holman, they went to visit her yesterday. And while they were visiting her, she confessed her faults, and they had prayer for her, and we're very thankful for that. But I know the family still continue to request our prayers on her behalf and on their behalf as well. So we will definitely do that. Brother Jeff mentioned about a flip-flop this morning, and this is for the next 3 months. We will have a different rotation, so it doesn't mean, Brother Guy, that you can sit over there and take a break and nap this morning. But last week, Brother Guy kicked us off with working for the Lord, talking about resolutions and making Jesus the king of our lives, and that's definitely something that we want to do this year. This morning, as you see, I'm going to be talking about helping the poor, and tonight, Brother Guy is going to be talking about personal work. Next Sunday morning, Brother Guy will be preaching on visiting the sick, and that night, Brother Britt will be preaching on Bible study. And the following Sunday morning, Brother Stewart will be talking about bringing back the lost, and then I'll finish up with converting the lost. And that's our January sermons, and we have three different series going on that the elders has provided us with, and I'm excited about these. And in February, we'll be talking about people of the Bible. And so here are some names we're going to be studying about and talking about for our February series. And in March, we're going to be talking about looking to Jesus. And as you can see, the topics there on authority and right living. In March, we'll get in, as I think that's when maybe Al and them come in then. Al and Matt will be preaching that fifth Sunday in March. And so we're looking forward to that. I have down here Steve Klein, but Steve will be preaching one time for us on that Sunday for March 3rd through the 6th, and the rest will be Gary Sandusky. And so mark your calendars. March, we have a lot of things going on here at O'Neill. I'm loving these three series and looking forward to studying those with you all for the coming months. Thank you for that reading this morning, Brother Al, in Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. How about helping the poor, and what a wonderful wonderful thing that we can do to help the poor. And as we saw there when in Deuteronomy 15, we see there as the in the Old Testament and before these verses in 7 through 9 and the verses 1 through 6, talking about every 7 years there was what they called a Jubilee year. And in that Jubilee year, debts were forgiven, servants were set free, fields were left unplanted, and it assumed that the debtors were those poor Israelites who'd borrowed money to feed their families. And Jubilee years, they proclaimed God's grace, and it was kind of the mercy there that they were able to have burdens forgiven. And the Israelites had that view that the poor people, that the people that were poor among them, that they were given what they needed. Loans, as they mentioned in the reading, that those things were forgiven, and because they weren't going to be able to pay them back. Their attitude was one of warmth, one of generosity, one especially with because they realized that there would always be poor people in the world. There would always be poor people in Israel. There would always be people who needed help. As we see that from the reading there, because there he says in verse 11, "For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command you thee, saying, Thou shalt open thy hand wide unto your brother." Not with a clenched fist, I think that's a closed fist, I think that's what Al's version read. "To the needy and in the land." And so with that idea in mind, we want to think about our attitude. Our attitude toward helping the poor. Our attitude toward helping those who are in need. You know, when we look back at that verse 9, and with this idea or this mindset that the year of Jubilee or that year of release was upon them, look at what verse 9 says. "Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, The seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest them not. He cries against the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee." We should, and this idea here is, oh, here comes the seventh year. They're going to be released from their burdens, so I'm just not going to give them anything. And so that's not the attitude, or that's not the heart that we as Christians want to have. We want, as he said, an open heart, an open hand, someone that we're going to be gladly helping individuals who are in need. We see from that Moses, as he taught, and he taught things that the helping the poor was an issue of heart. In his mind, we had open hearts. An open heart led to an open hand. And as we say, the poor is always going to be among us. So those who are blessed with more are able to help those who are in need. Sometimes we get wrong attitudes. Sometimes I may even get a wrong attitude. And thinking about, do we take advantage of them? Do we take advantage of those who are less fortunate than we? You know, I've watched on the news of individuals who take advantage of those who are less fortunate, especially those who are elderly, are often taking advantage of. Do we look down upon them? Of course we don't. We don't look down upon those who are poor. We treat them with the respect and dignity that everyone should have. We have pity on them. We have compassion toward them, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. Do we blame them? Well, you're poor, or you don't have because you've done something in your life. You didn't do this in your life. You made a different choice. You made the wrong choice. You've mismanaged what you have. Do we start blaming them for their misfortunes? Sometimes tough love can be appropriate, but we help them learn a better way. Not condemn them for what they're doing. We learn them a better way. Now, Brother Al had a lesson back in June on mercy. And in that lesson, he talked about, and he made a statement. He said, unfortunately, some people today are lazy and greedy, not injured and needy. Think about that. Is there a difference of someone in need and someone in greed? There is a difference there. And so when we think about, do we help them? Yes, we do help them. We want to help them, but we also want to also think to ourselves, is our giving, is it unrestricted? If someone says, I want something, do we just hand it to them? So going back to those who are lazy and greedy, do we just hand over those things to them, even though they're not trying to help themselves? Again, what do? We try to learn them, teach them a better way. So when we look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, Paul says here, he says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. He says, on the contrary, what did they do? He wasn't idle. He wasn't being lazy. He was using his hands. He was doing things. He says, on the contrary, we worked day and night, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves a model for you to imitate. He says, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. If you don't work, you don't eat. So, but if someone is in need and they don't have the money for that, do we help them? Yes, we don't blame them. We don't discourage them. We help those individuals out. He says, Paul goes ahead there and he says, we hear that some of you are idle and some of you are disruptive. You're not busy. They were busy, all right, but being busy bodies, but not being busy in working. So we have to have the right kind of attitude toward individuals who are definitely injured and in need. So what are the right attitudes? We have to love and help them. We have to follow after the example of Jesus. And we know that Jesus, he was one that when he had compassion on people. We treat them, as I've said, with dignity. We treat them with respect. We don't give preference to someone who has a lot to someone who doesn't. We leave some of the gleaning for those who are less fortunate. What do I mean there? In the Old Testament, they were commanded. When they had a harvest, they weren't to take everything. They were to leave something. They were to leave things for the other people to come in and to glean, to get from them. So they still had to do some work to get those things. So when we look at the Bible and we see what the Bible says about helping poor, helping those who are in need, we see from Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. Let's read that one more time. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord. So in essence, when we are giving to the poor, who are we really giving to? we're giving to God. And what's He going to do about that? He is going to reward them for what they have done. So the reward is going to come from God, not necessarily here on this earth. 22 verse 9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. In Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses the poor shows contempt for their Maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. When we help those who are in need, when we help those who are poor, we are giving honor to God. And that's where the honor goes. It doesn't look what I can do for you. No, it's look what I have done for God. In Proverbs 28, verse 27, the wise man says, those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes, to them receive many blessings. Closing our eyes, as the version that Al read, closing or clenching our fists when we ask to help the poor, that doesn't give us any honor. That doesn't give Him any honor. And that's what we want. We want to give Him, we want to give our God, who has blessed us abundantly, we want to give Him honor for helping those who are in need. So, when we give, do we give to get a blessing, or do we give to be a blessing? Do we give to get a blessing? I'm going to give, so because we've just read that God's going to give back to those who give. Is that the reason I'm giving? And again, if that's the reason I'm giving, that's the wrong motive. We give to be a blessing. That's what God expects. So being a blessing. When was the last time someone blessed you? When was the last time you blessed someone else? Has it been a while? Has it been recently? You know, in discussing true and false worship, and we read in Isaiah 58 verse 10, He said to feed the hungry, help those in trouble. He says, then your light will shine out from the darkness. When you help those who are in need, your light is going to shine out from the darkness. And the darkness that is around you will be as bright as noon. You see, our light, when we are letting our light shine, when we are helping those who are in need, you see, that light is fueled by God. It's fueled by Jesus. And that light is as bright or brighter than noon when we allow God, when we allow Jesus to be the king of our life. But we see some contrast in the Bible, don't we, with Bible characters. We look at the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus and he's asking Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What can I do? What can I do to get eternal life? And so he goes through a list of things, and he tells him, you know, keep the commandments. And he starts listing all those things. Well, the guy's probably feeling pretty good about himself. Because look at verse 21. Jesus said, if thou be perfect, you go and you sell all that you have, and you give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. You see, he was rich. He had a lot in life. But Jesus wanted to know, where is your heart? What kind of heart do you have? And so when he asked him this, what was the response? He went away sorrowful. Where was his treasure? Was it being laid up in heaven, or was it being laid up here on this earth? See, this individual had great possessions. So we have a heart like that. But we also have another example of another heart. Another heart of a man named Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Cornelius, he was a centurion of the band. He was called the Italian band. He was a devout man. He was one that feared God with all of his house. And what did he do? He gave much alms to the people. He shared what he had with other people. He was someone that prayed to God always. Now, was Cornelius a Christian? Not yet. But what he did was brought up to God as a memorial. It was a memorial for God. God saw the good that he was doing. And God sent somebody to his life to say, look, Jesus is who you need. And that's exactly what he got. Not only him, but his family as well. When Peter came to him, Cornelius, he demonstrated love. He demonstrated what Jesus would have been doing. So we see that a faith that profits is a faith that demonstrates love. And when we see here, and we can look read in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, it says, what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he does not have works? Can faith save him? I say I have faith, but I have nothing to show for it. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of them says, well, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. If you know your brother and sister need something, and you don't give it to them, but you say, go have a great day, go on with life. What does he say? What does it profit? Did it profit you to tell somebody, go ahead, go on, have a wonderful life, and you know they were in need? He says, thus also, faith by itself does not have works. What is it? It's dead. Now, when we see individuals who are in need, what do? Are we generous in our helping with them? No. Are we a good Samaritan? When we're going by, are we the priest? I see it, but I'm going to keep going. Are we the Levite? Well, they look pretty bad, but I'm going to keep going. Or when we see someone in need, do we help them? Are we the good Samaritan? Are we the one who is the one that's demonstrating love? So when we talk about that and that demonstrative love, we need to know what kind of heart do we have. When we read in Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and 36, Jesus, he went about the cities and the villages. He's teaching in the synagogues and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. He's healing all the sicknesses. He's in every disease that's among the people. And when he looks out and he sees the multitudes. He sees the need that they have. He sees the desires that they have of him. He was moved with compassion on them. Compassion, what does that mean? You suffer with that individual. A feeling that arises that says when you are confronted with another suffering and you feel motivated to relieve that suffering. When we're like Jesus and we have compassion, their suffering becomes our suffering. Their heartaches becomes our heartaches. You see, our suffering becomes Jesus' suffering. Our needs becomes His needs. And when we as Christians, when we put on Jesus, when we put on the name of Christ, when He has someone who is in need, He is in need. And what would He do? He would have compassion and He would help. And that's what we do. That's when we have the heart of Jesus, that's what we do. And that heart of Jesus is a heart of love. And 1 John 3:17, for whoever has this world's goods and sees his brothers in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? If we see that someone's in need and we have opportunity to give and we don't, how is the love of God in us? If we're shutting up what they need, we don't have the love of God in us. You know, how eager are we? Not only to have the heart of Jesus and the heart of love, but do we have a heart of eagerness? Are we eager to help those who are in need? You know, before Peter and some other apostles, they're talking to, giving some instructions to Paul, and they're telling him some things, and they remind him, you remember the poor. Look at Galatians, look at verse 10. All they asked was that they should continue to remember the poor. And listen to what Paul said. the very thing I had eager to do all along. He was already, you didn't have to tell him. He was already very eager to help those who were in need. We look at not only being eager to help those who are in need, but also that heart of, we want that heart of giving. So if we have that heart of Jesus, that heart of love, that heart of eagerness, we're going to have that heart of giving as well. When we look in Acts chapter 20, and we see here that Paul is telling them that he's about to depart. Grievous wolves is going to be coming among you. They're going to not spare the flock. They're coming in. They're going to come and get you. And he said also that men of your own selves shall rise. Men, they're going to speak perverse things, and people are going to be drawn away. He said, but I want you to watch, and I want you to remember these times that are with you for these last 3 years. He said, I want you to remember that for I did not cease to warn you. I told you about these things. He says, I commend you to God. I'm going to give you to God. I'm going to give you to the word of His grace. And that word is able to do what? It's able to build you up. To give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. He said, and I have coveted. Listen to what Paul said. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I didn't covet after anything anybody else had. He said, you yourselves know that these hands, he says, they ministered unto my necessities, but also to them that were with me. He had that heart of giving. And he said, I will show you all things in verse 35, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. You work. And you do the things you know. You take care of your own, but you also help those who are in need. You remember the words of Jesus, how He said, what did Jesus say? It is more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Because remember, when we're giving, who are we giving to? We're giving to God. We're not giving to God to get a blessing. We're not giving to the poor to get a blessing. We're given to be a blessing. There's a story of a young boy. And this young boy, he was very interested in cars. And he sees this Cadillac, and he is looking intently through the windows of this Cadillac, and the owner was wondering what this boy is doing. And so he comes up to this boy. He puts his hand on his shoulders, and he asks, what you doing, son? And the boy says, he talks about how he was interested in cars, how he had read a lot about them and about different models, and they strike up a conversation. They're talking about, what they had done, explain the details, and the man explains the details of the make and model of the car, and after a while, the boy looks up at him, and he says, Mister, how much did you pay for this car? And the man replied, nothing. My brother gave it to me. And the boy said, well, I wish, and then he didn't finish his sentence. And the man kind of laughed a little bit, and he said, you were going to say you wish you had a brother like that? And the boy replied, no, I was actually going to say, I wish I could be a brother like that. He wishes he could be a blessing, because this boy's brother was crippled and was in need of a lot of things. And he had a desire and an eagerness and a love and had compassion that he wanted to see that his brother, he wanted to give his brother the things that he needed. When we look at that heart and we look at that example, we go to the early church. And in the early church in chapter 4, the multitudes of them that believed were of one heart. They were of one soul. And neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they all had things in common. See, the early church, the individuals have Jesus. They are on fire. They're seeing that the power of what Jesus is doing. And they are freely and gladly giving to those, their brothers and sisters, who are in need. It says, neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as possessors of lands and houses, they sold them. They brought the prices of the things that were sold. The disciples here, they're demonstrating a heart of unselfish devotion. It led them to give of what they had to others. It continues there in verse 35 through 37. They lay it to the feet. They bring it to those who are in need. Other brothers and sisters, taking care of brothers and sisters in the Lord. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, when he says, concerning the collection of the saints, and he given order to the churches of Galatia, so even so do you. From the first day of the week, let everyone lay by in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. What were they collecting for? They were collecting for the concerning the collection for who? The collection of the saints. And see, as a church, we can do things for our brothers and our sisters. But does that mean we can do it for anybody? Well, you know, in Acts chapter 6, you had those who were widows. And the widows were being neglected. And so there were some problems that were arising there. You have in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and 3 through 16, talking about those who were widows indeed, and not letting the church be charged. Well, why weren't they letting the church be charged? Because there were individuals who were their family members that needed to be taking care of those individuals. But if they couldn't, then they could be brought into the church. So there are some things that we can do as individuals to help the poor, and there are things that we can do collectively as the church for those who are our brothers and sisters. So, what about O'Neill? What about here at O'Neill? Have we been a blessing? Have we blessed others? And just kind of going over some of the things that I know about, and personal, and talking with Tommy about a few things. Just kind of, I made a list of things what we've done here at O'Neill, and this is just very few things. This doesn't probably even scratch the surface. Things we've done individually and things we've done collectively. I just put them all into one list. We here at O'Neill, we have provided brothers and sisters with financial assistance. Those who may have, you know, lost their job for some reason or other. Those who may just be in dire straits. They just can't make ends meet. We provided assistance either individually for medical bills, funeral costs, those who are in need. We've collected goods for flood victims. I know that's when Brother Guy, maybe, I don't know who all was all involved, but they drove trucks. We loaded down some trucks with water and things. They took those to New Orleans, I believe it was. We had $35,000 that was sent, some of that from the church treasury, some of that from individuals, for the supplies and assistance to Christian families of the hurricane victims, and it was in Texas. We've had individuals who've went to people who were in need that needed their yard clean, needed their yards mowed, needed their houses clean. We've had individuals that have went, groups of individuals that went and built ramps for different members, family members of people. We've had individuals that will sit with and help care for the sick. We've had people that have taken people that could not get to surgeries. We've had people to offer their service, to take them there, to bring them to church. We've had people, probably numerous that I don't even know about, who's opened their homes to help others in various ways. What can we do? What can we do more? You know, if you know of a brother and sister who is in need, please let our elders know. Talk to our elders and tell them about the needs that people have. Because we want it said here at O'Neill. When I was hungry, we want it said that either as a church, as individuals, we want it said about the people here, the Christians here at O'Neill, that when somebody was hungry, we gave them something to eat. When somebody was thirsty, we gave them something to drink. We want it said at O'Neill that there was a stranger and you invited them. We want it said that when you're sick, that you've looked after those individuals. If we have someone who's in prison, we want you to say, we visited those. We visited those in jail. We want that said about us here at O'Neill. What did the righteous man truly, he said, I tell you that, well, when did I do those things? And the king's going to say, whatever you did to the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Because what we do here at O'Neill It's not for any glory and honor for any one person, but for Him. And that's what we want said about our brothers and sisters at O'Neill, as we are working for the Lord and we're making Him the King of our life. Thank you for your attention this morning. There may be those this morning that who are spiritually needy. Maybe some of you here this morning who are spiritually poor. Spiritually, you're hungry. What did Jesus say? He said, "I am the bread of life, and he that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes on me shall never thirst." Your spiritual needy this morning. He said, "You come unto me." You come to me, he says. All you that labor and heavy laden, he says, "I will give you rest." You come to me, and I will provide the rest for you. You take my yoke on you. You learn of me. And when you learn of him, you're going to find out that he is meek and he's lowly in heart. And in that meekness and in that lowly of heart, that's where you're going to find rest unto your souls. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. There may be some of those this morning that it's the yoke is you feel is heavy. Will lighten that load. Come and confess your faults. There may be those in our attendance who have not yet named the name of Christ and not become a Christian. Do so this morning as we stand.